Again, I consider it a great privilege to be able to spend a little time with you in the Word this morning. I know our pastor is gone, but he'll be back soon, and we look forward to that. In his absence, I would like to speak, if I could, again on the person of Barnabas. The reason I think I enjoy speaking about Barnabas, and I think why it's so applicable to all of us, is Barnabas is not the main man. He's not the great preacher. He's not the leading missionary. He's just a man that's led by the Spirit of God and is used greatly in the early church. And every time I look at the early church, there's a fervency there that I think we need to take note of and ask questions. Do we have that fervency within our churches today? Because I'm certain that God desires that. And I think, you know, as you think through Scripture, and if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to open them up to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Because we'd like to take another glimpse at the life of Barnabas. And the third glance on his life really is found in Acts chapter 11. And what we want to do, but one thing I do want to, as you look at it, you know, there's one command in Scripture that I think is so important, and I think sometimes many of us don't understand it, and that's a command that most of us know by heart in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is given in the imperative mood, which is God's command to us that we should continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think when we reflect at Barnabas's life, we're going to be able to see that and pray, understand it just a little bit better. So let's just start with a word of prayer as we look at Barnabas's life and ask God to meet with us as we study. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. And Father, we just pray now as we look at your word that you might teach, that you might instruct us according to your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, as we look at Barnabas, here's the first glimpse we saw last week, yesterday morning, and again, God seems to bring this story and just fits in different glimpses of this man. We first looked at Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. Remember, there was a great fervency, a great miracle took place. Barnabas was around. He saw the impact that it made. The apostles prayed that they would be filled with the Spirit of God, or that they would speak with boldness, and God answered that prayer. They were filled with boldness, but not only was the grace of God upon the apostles as they spoke, and upon the common, ordinary people as well, that grace was poured out. And it says in the book of Acts, as we noted last week, that no one looked at his possessions as though they were their own. And then it talked about Barnabas, who was impacted by that incident. And what he did within the fervent spirit of that happening, he owned land in Cyprus, he sold it, and he gave it to the apostles because he desired the work of God to continue. He was impacted by the fervency of that early church, and we noted that. You know, as you look at the second thing that we looked about at Barnabas last Sunday evening, is that Barnabas was greatly impacted the life of Paul. Remember, Paul, a great persecutor of the church. And as he persecuted the church on the road to Damascus, he was converted. But nobody really wanted to receive him. He spent about 3 years in the wilderness, being taught by God. When he made it back to Jerusalem, he didn't have a friend. And no one, even as he tried to join himself to the believers of Jerusalem, no one would receive him. And then Acts chapter 9 tells us, but Barnabas brought him in, listened to his story, and took him to the apostles. He was the great encourager, and he moved out and he helped Paul, and Paul naturally became the greatest missionary that the early church knew. And so again, Barnabas, greatly used of God to impact the life of the apostle Paul. Those are the first two glimpses of Barnabas that we see. Now, in Acts chapter 11, we're going to see him for the third time, but I want to just again give you a timeline so you understand as you look at the book of Acts. Barnabas was brought in at the very early church, as far as we know. He was present there. Paul was converted probably about 3 years after the church was started, and when he finally met Barnabas, Barnabas had been involved in the early church probably for about 6 years. Notice it says 37 AD, Paul visits Jerusalem. That's when Barnabas took him in and showed him. So that's 6 years after the event of Acts chapter 4. Now notice as you look at Paul's life or the Acts timeline, it says that Paul arrives at Antioch, and we're going to talk about Antioch, but now we're already at 42 AD. That means that Barnabas actively has been serving as a believer in that early church at Jerusalem for at least 10 years. Just so you start to understand that the book of Acts just doesn't flow right event after another. We're talking about a time span of about 10 years as you look at Paul and as we look at this incident in Acts chapter 11. About 10 years now has elapsed as we look at him. Now notice we are going to look at Antioch here just to bring out several things so that you understand. At the very bottom you see Jerusalem. That's where Barnabas served in that local church. But remember again, he was from Cyprus, that island in the Mediterranean. I just want you to get in, sort of in your mind where he's from, where he served. If you look at the very top of the map, you have that city called Antioch. That's where Barnabas is going to go. That's where he's going to be sent by the early church. So he's not that far from his homeland, but you start to sense where he's headed, and so you sort of get a picture in your mind of where he is headed. And you look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, the news of these things, speaking about Antioch, came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So he's going to go from Jerusalem, sent by the church, up to the city of Antioch. And that's where we're going to get our third glimpse of him and learn some other things about his life. Now, Antioch of Syria, what do we know about that city? Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, only after Alexandria in Rome. This is a main city, and it's about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. There's a large Jewish population there, and the language of the city was Greek. Now, keep that in mind because Barnabas, although being a Levite, a Jewish man, grew up in Cyprus, which was also a Greek-speaking colony, so Greek was the main language it was used. Barnabas, very familiar with that. It had a large commerce center, and was known for that. It was a pleasure resort city as well. It was also known for its art and its literature. So this was a well-known city that God is going to work in a special way. So that's the setting as you look at Antioch, so you get a better understanding of this text. Now, one thing I do want to point out before we look, and we'll look at the third glimpse here of Barnabas, but just look at your text once, because there's certain things you need to be aware of as we look at how Barnabas responded here. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 18 with me before we get to Barnabas. This is Peter's report as he comes from the house of Cornelius. And notice what it says, verse 18, "And when they heard these things, they became silent." That was Peter's report about what God did with Cornelius, that Gentile family. "And they glorified God, saying, 'The God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance of life.'" Now again, as the Jews listened to the report, they were just so surprised that God had moved in such a strong way in the city where Peter had gone. But now God is trying to move from the Jewish center now to the Gentile center in the first missionary journey. Look at verse 19. "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but to the Jews only." Now that describes the activity of those who left Jerusalem for about the first 10 years. They scattered out even after the persecution the death of Stephen, but they only carried the word to other Jewish people. They really thought that was the Great Commission. They didn't get God's vision. They thought the Jewish part was to be the center forever, but God had other plans. And therefore, they're taking the word just to Jewish people. That's the first 10 years. You know, the Jerusalem church was a great church, greatly used of God. We saw that work even last week. But they had some limitations. They were so set in the Jewish form, they couldn't understand that God wanted to launch out way beyond that. And so they limited themselves. God never condemned the Jewish church or the Jerusalem church because of that. Because I think it was some of the limitations probably were there, but God understood that. God knew that the great missionary journeys were not going to leave out of Jerusalem. They were going to leave out of this Gentile city called Antioch. That's where God was about to do his great work. Now notice as you read, it goes on to say, verse 20, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they came to Antioch, this great Gentile city, they spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now you have a whole group of Gentiles that is believing. This was unheard of to the Jewish mind. They didn't understand that, but God was working in a very powerful way. Now, the whole report of that comes to the city of Jerusalem, which is really the main city of God's work. And so notice how they respond here in verse 22. And this is where we get another glimpse of this one called Barnabas. Verse 22. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Now again, as you just think for a while as you go through, remember when the great work took place in Samaria back in Acts chapter 8, the church in Jerusalem heard of that as well, and they sent Peter and John, two of the apostles of Christ, they sent to Samaria. But it almost helps us understand the great appreciation that the church of Jerusalem had for Barnabas, because in this instance, when they hear of the great working that's going on in Antioch, they don't send Peter, they don't send John, they send Barnabas, greatly esteemed by that Jewish church. It doesn't even say Barnabas had a position of leadership in that church. There's no indication of that. He was a fervent man who is greatly esteemed in the church of Jerusalem. And I think we're going to find out why they sent Barnabas, and from that we can learn. I think several things are pretty easy to note as you go through. Notice if you glance back up in verse 19, some of the people that went to Antioch were from where? From Cyprus. Therefore, that's Barnabas' hometown. They probably thought, well, Barnabas is from Cyprus. Some of the people that went up there are from Cyprus. He can communicate with some of those that have already gone up there. That might have been one of the reasons. Also, it was a Gentile city where maybe Peter and John, who weren't raised in Gentile cities, maybe they thought maybe Barnabas would be a better fit there as well. And they may have taken all of those things into consideration. Maybe Barnabas knew Antioch, since Cyprus wasn't very far from Antioch. It may be that Barnabas already knew the city from early childhood or whatever. Numbers of reasons could have entered in. But there are some reasons that are given to us right here in Scripture, and those are the ones that we want to reflect on. Why did they send this one called Barnabas? Well, look at the Scriptures. Notice what it says, verse 23. When he came, Barnabas came to Antioch and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now it's interesting when you look at that construction in verse 23, I actually would like to start with verse 24. Let me explain why. You see that little word for at the beginning of verse 24? It's really a Greek conjunction that means because. It shows in verse 23 how he responded when he came to Antioch. But verse 24 says, the reason he responded with great gladness when he came there was because he was a good man, because he was a man full of the Holy Spirit, because he was a man full of faith. And so because of that, he responded the way he did. This was a difficult thing for the church of Jerusalem to understand.
And the very character of Barnabas comes into play here. So it would be worth our while just to spend just a few minutes on that verse 24 where it talks about he was, because he was a good man. Now let's try to understand just a little bit about that, because I think there's great application that can come to us. There's not very many verses that talk about someone being good. We know, according to the scripture, that there is no just man. There is no one good in and of themselves but God. So clearly this isn't a reference that Barnabas was perfect by any means. He was a sinner just like you and I are sinners. Let me just show you one verse I think that might give us a feel that talks about another individual that the Bible goes out of its way to say was good. And if you just turn with me, go back to the book of Luke, if you would, chapter 23 and verse 50. We find another man that is called good. Notice what it says about Joseph of Arimathea. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. There it is again. Now this speaks about Joseph of Arimathea. Now this is a very interesting statement if you think through the story, because notice what it says in Luke 23, 50, and he's also the author of the book of Acts. It says that he was a council member, a good and just man. The book of Matthew tells us about Joseph of Arimathea that he was rich. Now, as you go through this, he was a disciple of Christ. When it says he was a member of the council, it means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. There were 70 Jewish prominent men that ruled in Jerusalem. And he was a prominent council member, it says in the book of Mark. He was one of the top men in Jerusalem. But you know what's so interesting about him? We know that when that whole council wanted to condemn Christ, Joseph of Arimathea was there. Now just imagine for a while, if you're ruling a city and the entire council is in a frenzy, ready to condemn Christ, and they're raising their hands, they're planning, and there's only one person that's going to stand against that. Let me ask you, if you were a part of that council of 70, would you have the courage to stand up and say, this is wrong, this man is not guilty of the things that you're saying, he's innocent? Would you have the courage to stand up? Joseph of Arimathea did. He stood against the most powerful council in Jerusalem. Can you imagine the response of all his contemporaries when he took a stand against everybody else at that moment? Have you ever been in a place where that's happened to you? Where everybody wants to move in one direction and you are the only individual that doesn't want to do that? That's not an easy thing, is it? But that's what Joseph of Arimathea did. And I think because of that action, according to Luke, it says Joseph of Arimathea was a just man. He was a good man. He was genuine, he was honest, he was real, and he stood for that. He was a good man. And that's what it says about Barnabas. He was a good man. Again, as he comes to Jerusalem and he sees the grace of God, he responds, his heart responds, because he's a good man. Now notice the second characteristic as you go back to Acts chapter 11. Which is maybe one of the most important. And it is interesting to me that out of the three characteristics that God gives of Barnabas, he places this one right in the middle. You have Barnabas, a good man, Barnabas full of faith, but right in the middle it says he's full of the Holy Ghost, or full of the Holy Spirit. Now this is an interesting description that we need to understand. You know, as you think about it, it's so interesting as far as the name of Barnabas is concerned, because he was called in Acts chapter 4 the son of consolation. The word there is paraclete. When you think of the Holy Spirit and you study the Gospel of John, he also is called a paraclete, one of comfort, one of encouragement. So it's interesting he's called the son of consolation, or the son of paraclete, that type of thing, and he's filled with the paraclete. I hope you see that. Now, the other thing we know from Scripture is that when a person makes a personal decision to receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into that person and indwells them, according to the book of Acts, according to the book of Romans, according to the book of Ephesians. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit at the time that you make a decision for Christ. And we should rejoice in that. Everyone that names the name of Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in him. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are not his, according to the Word of God. So we as believers, genuine believers, understand that the Spirit of God dwells in us. But my question is, how about being filled? It's one thing to be indwelt, another thing to be filled. Now, notice here, in a number of times in the book of Acts, when it talks about Peter, it says he's filled with the Spirit. It speaks about Paul, he is filled with the Spirit. But when it comes here to Barnabas, when it comes to selecting deacons in Acts chapter 6, it says select a number of men full of the Holy Spirit, meaning that that little phrase is descriptive of your whole life. Now, that's something else, isn't it? When you look at Barnabas, a descriptor of his life is he was filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. It was a characteristic of his life. Now, what does that look like? You know, we use terms, but what does that really look like? And I think there's enough in Scripture, and as we look at it, I put down, you know, the good man speaks of his character. But the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I think, is really visible by how he made decisions. Now think about his life just for a little bit. All of the things we're able to see in Scripture. When he had that land, it was his land. He could have sold it, made a good profit, kept that for himself, and probably lived comfortably. But in the moment of that time, he decided that he was going to sell that land because there was such great needs in that poor church in the city of Jerusalem. He made a decision. Instead of looking for his benefit, he looked to the benefit of the kingdom of God. He sold it and he gave it to them, led by the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 4, he's called the Son of Consolation, which means that he went out and he was given that name because some of his actions. He helped those needy people in Jerusalem, encouraging them. When we saw him in Acts chapter 9, as he worked with the Apostle Paul, who did not have a friend, he put his life in jeopardy to listen to Paul, to bring him into the apostles. Why? Because in his mind, the most important thing was not his safety, it was the growth of the kingdom of God. That's what he's thinking all the way through this. When he finally comes here and we see the third glance, here he's lived in Jerusalem for 10 years. I have no doubt he's in a comfortable situation. He doesn't need to move out. But then the church says, Barnabas, we want you to go to Jerusalem. He has to pull up all the roots. He has to take off. Why? Is he thinking of his own comfort? No, he's only thinking of the advancement of the kingdom of God. He's listening to the Spirit of God all the way through here. When he finally gets down to Antioch and God does a great work through him, then he leaves there and he has to go search for the Apostle Paul someplace in Cilicia. He's not sure where he is, but I'm sure it's not an easy task. Why does he do that? It might be that the Apostle Paul, from what he's already known about him, is going to be greater than him. So why is he going to go look for somebody who might come into Antioch and he might be the head guy? Because he doesn't care about position, he doesn't care about prestige. The only thing he cares about is the kingdom of God and that it would be advanced. He doesn't care about himself. All the way through you see this. Then after he's in Antioch for a while, they want to send him out on a missionary journey. Does that sound like the most comfortable thing to do? It's not. And he knows he's going to face great hardships. But as he looks at that and he looks at the advancement of the kingdom of God, what's more important to me? The advancement of the kingdom of God. That's what he says. Every place down the line, he's always making decisions not for his own comfort, not for his own joy, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's why we can look at him and say, Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what the church needs today. We sit and we live for our own pleasure, for our own comfort. And if God would get a hold of us and allow the Spirit of God to fill us, we would start thinking more about the kingdom of God than our own comforts. That's what you see in Barnabas. But he's not the main man. He's not the main speaker. We're talking about a common, ordinary man. But you know, when God starts to move among the common, ordinary people and they're filled with the Spirit of God, things will begin to happen. And that's here. That's Barnabas. Now again, I want you to think a little bit of just about that phrase, full of the Holy Spirit. So my question to you, where does all the power to make these decisions come from? It must be Barnabas. He's so focused. No. The whole idea is that God can fill any person. The glory goes to the Spirit of God, not to Barnabas. Because remember when Peter did that miracle when he was filled with the Spirit of God, all of the people started to look at Peter and say, "Oh, Peter, how did you do such a great thing?" And Peter said, "What are you looking at me for? Wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God that filled me." And I think if Barnabas were here and he could speak to us this morning, and we would admire his life, and we should, we would want to give so much credit to him, and Barnabas would come back to us and say, "Wasn't me. The Spirit of God energized me in my decisions. The Spirit of God led me. The glory goes to him." But clearly he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now the last phrase, I think, sort of goes with that as well. It says he's full of faith. And I think you can see that in Barnabas' life. Why did he want to talk to Paul and put his life in danger? Because I think he could begin to see something was going to happen with this man. Why did he go to Antioch? Because I think in his mind he was believing and he thought great things might happen there. He was believing. Why did he go out and seek for Saul? Because he sensed there was something about this man. Why did he go on the first missionary journey? He knew God's hand. He was believing, filled with faith. A great man of God. That's why the church at Jerusalem had no problem saying, "Let's send Barnabas." We know how he makes his decisions. He makes them based upon God's kingdom and the advancement of God's kingdom, not on himself. Folks, that is possible with every single one of us. Do you understand that? It is possible for every single believer to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not only possible, that's what God expects from us. He knows we don't have the strength. He knows we don't have the courage. We don't have anything. And that's why we got to be filled with the Spirit. There's nothing in us. And the better we understand this concept, the more useful we'll be to God. I love studying this as you go through. A great encouragement to every one of us. Now that's verse 24. He said, "Chuck, you're just about out of time." I know that. But you know, that's why they sent him. And notice, if you keep that in mind, now go back to verse 23. 23. It was because of this type of character, that's why he responded the way he did in verse 23. When he came, verse 23, and saw and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Not only is a person filled with the Spirit of God able to do these things, he has great joy in doing them. Everything that he does, he thinks it's a great pleasure, a great privilege that is given to him. The missionary trip, that's a privilege. Seeking out Saul, that's a privilege. And when he saw the work of God, he could recognize it because he saw it in his own life first. When he saw what was taking place, he recognized the hand of God, the grace of God, and he was glad, rejoiced. God's at work here. Just like he worked in my heart, he's working here. I can see that. And then notice what he says to them. Not only that, his response, he's glad, first of all. Then he encourages them. This is interesting because the word encourage comes from what word? Paraclete. First of all, you have filled with the Paraclete. He's called the Son of the Paraclete. And now he's doing Paraclete type of work. He encourages them with purpose of heart. And I think there's something here. Notice what it says as well. It says, he encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. And I think it's even an indication about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Because I think in that sense, if you can purpose in your heart, God can give you the strength to follow through. God, I want to be filled with the Spirit, but I don't see anything within me. Well, that's good. With purposeful heart, God, I want to be used by you. That's the only thing I had when I became a new believer, because I couldn't see anything good in me at all, and I still can't. But I want God to use me. And with that purpose, I pursue him, trusting him to fill me. There's many a time I don't feel like making visits, and I can say to God, God, there's no desire in me, but I'm looking to you. Fill me with your Spirit. Purpose of heart. Barnabas was saying, with purpose of heart, continue in the Lord. Now notice the result. And with that, we'll just finish. The result you find down. What happens when all of this takes place and they send Barnabas to Antioch to see what's going on? Notice the end of verse 24. And a great many people were added to the Lord. They preached the gospel some more. More people made decisions for Christ. And a great number of people were added to the Lord. What a great result. You can almost sense the enthusiasm at this. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in Antioch at that point? Wouldn't you have loved to see that work take place? You know, when I look at what God is doing, when I knew that Dave Heisterkamp was going to go to Polk City, I knew something was going to happen there. I knew it. Why? Dave is not a perfect man, but he's filled with the Spirit of God. I expected things to happen there. And you know, when Josh and Greg, as they went down to Easter Lake area, I knew things were going to happen there. Why? Because they're such great personalities? No. I watched how those guys make decisions. And it's like they're ready to sacrifice everything. Where they live, whatever, they're ready to sacrifice everything to go be used by God. I expect people to get saved because they're following the same pattern we see right there. And I expect things to happen right here. Do you know why? Because I can see the same type of evidence in work in the lives of a number of people right here at Sailorville. We are so different in our personalities. But I'm convinced that our numbers that are filled with the Spirit, that desire this, this doesn't mean that you're perfect. But your life doesn't mean anything to you anymore. You're done with trying to pursue your pleasures and everything else about life. You simply want to be used by God. Folks, our time could be short. Do you understand that? And my question to us as a church, as we push out these new churches and we see God work, are we ready that God would do a greater work here? Oh, that God would get a hold of a lot of lives. They'd be filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, God's working right here. I expect people to be saved here. I expect it. We have a great pastor that I think is full of the Holy Spirit. And I think we have numbers of men and women as well. You can just see by the way they make decisions. They could care less about this life. They're focused on what can we do for the kingdom of God, encouraging unbelievers, trying to get the gospel out. But I have to ask you a question. If we could sit down right now and I would give you a piece of paper and I would say to you, I'd like you to write down every life that you know of at Sailorville Baptist that you would say that that life could be characterized by a little phrase, full of the Holy Spirit.
If I did turn that sheet in and you guys filled it out, would your name be on that list? Would people know you by that little phrase, full of the Holy Ghost or full of the Holy Spirit? Barnabas's name ended up on that list. He's not the main man. He's not going to be the chief missionary. We don't even know how he spoke. I mean, when you go on the missionary journeys, it talks about how Paul spoke, not about Barnabas. But he was full of the Spirit of God. Do you see what God did through this one common, ordinary man that was full with the Spirit of God? Oh, that God would get a hold of us and that we might bow before Him even now. Oh, God, I want to be filled with Your Spirit. And I pray someday they'd be able to write my name full of the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean we're going to have all the same types of ministry. It's going to come out in all different ways. But people will see that heart that could care less about the things of this life. But they care about the things of God. My prayer is that my life would be more like Barnabas's life because he was filled with the Spirit of God. May God work powerfully in our lives. And I pray that you might meditate on this passage and that God might use it to bring you to that place where that would be your great desire as well. Let's pray. Father, we know, and as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's an exciting passage of what You can do through the simple life of one man who really desired to live for You and desired to be filled with the Spirit of God. Why did that church have such fervency? Not a perfect church, we know that. But there were numbers of men and women that were filled with the Spirit of God. God, You know every heart of every person here. I would guess there's some people here that are not genuine believers at all. They played church for a while, but they're not genuine believers. And they know it. Father, I pray that You might work in their hearts. Help them to understand that Christ died on the cross for them, to pay the price for their sins. And by simple trust and faith in Christ, they can be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, there's numbers of people here that would bow their heads before You and say, I am not filled with the Spirit of God. But maybe in their heart's desire, that's what they long for, that's what they desire. Father, I pray You'd teach them, that You would teach me. Father, that we might become a church that's known by people that are filled with the Spirit of God. May You work in a powerful way in our hearts today, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll do the invitation like we normally do. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I'll stand down in front. And if you need someone to explain the gospel to you, how you might be saved, we want to do that this morning. And so the invitation is for you to come, and someone will take you privately and show you how to be saved. And we delight in doing that. If God has spoken to your heart this morning as you look at the character of Barnabas and you know that you need to make a decision, maybe you're living for this world. And you know, the great thing about being filled with the Spirit of God, you can operate under any political environment. People that are filled with the Spirit of God can be used any place. Maybe you just want to come up and kneel before the Lord and ask Him to do that, or maybe you want to do that right in the pew where you're at. But I pray that you would open your hearts to Him and talk to Him this morning as we close and as we sing.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.